Good afternoon. For WRCO News, I'm Bo Henricks in for Todd Coppernoll. The Richland County Fair continues today and runs through Sunday, September 13th at the Richland County Fairgrounds. Fair coordinator Lyrica Marks is excited about this year's fair and appreciates the help from the Richland County Fair Board.
The Fair Board is actually stepping up quite a bit this year. We are stepping back from having a lot of the county help us out and relying a lot on our Fair Board, and they've been doing so good. We have some new members this year, so it'll be fun to see them go through their first fair season, because I remember when it was mine, and you never really know what you're stepping into until you're there. But it will be a lot of fun, bonding, you know, all the good stuff, and it takes everybody to come together for this.
There is one particular board member who's been doing great work for quite a few years.
Sandy Campbell is an amazing person, and if you know the fair, if you've been to the fair, you know Sandy. She is one of our longest running members, but also she has retired from the extension office and now has moved in with me full time. So every time I'm there, she's there. So I'm very thankful for everything she does.
Today, there will be animal shows throughout the day. Mr. Ed's Magical Midway opens at 5 and will run each during the fair. Tomorrow, the Southwest Pullers Truck and Tractor Pull will be held at 6:30. Jason Kleppe is an organizer of the event.
Friday night, Southwest Pullers will be coming in with our show and putting on the event that night. That'll be towards the windup of the end of our season, going into the points races. Everybody is getting tight. We'll be bringing in 10 classes. There'll also be two other classes that we'll be adding that night for some local people. There'll be a street stock, right off the street, diesel truck class. None of the guys that pull in the club can enter in that class. It's just people that are from off the street and come in from the gate and they can pull their truck. And then we will be having a 12,500-pound farm class for guys to run in. Also, where the club members cannot pull in that, it's just guys around the area, if they want to come pull their tractor that don't go pull with these groups that we run with all the time, can come in and pull and enjoy the fair, hopefully.
Saturday will be Children's Day. Events include kids and agriculture activities at 9, a pedal pull at 3, the meat animal sale at 5, and a demolition derby at 7. Sunday at 11, there will be the Little Britches Showmanship Contest. All weekend, you can view animals, tour exhibits, enjoy delicious food, and more. Gate prices tomorrow and Saturday are $5. Today and Sunday is free. You can find a full schedule of events by going online to richlandcountywi.gov and clicking on the Departments tab or on the Richland County Fairgrounds Facebook page. A local teenager was treated and released following a single vehicle rollover crash in the town of Hillsboro Wednesday afternoon. According to Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson, the Sheriff's Office 911 Dispatch Center was notified of the incident at approximately 1:45 in the afternoon on Wednesday. An investigation revealed the 17-year-old Dominic M. Kirkpatrick of rural Hillsboro was driving a 2020 Chevrolet Sonic westbound on State Highway 33. Near Grimm Road, Kirkpatrick lost control of the vehicle, causing it to run off the right side of the roadway, overturn, and come to rest on the right side near a building. Kirkpatrick was wearing his seatbelt at the time of the crash and the vehicle airbags deployed. He was transported by Hillsboro Area Ambulance to Amplify Health by Gunderson Hillsboro Area St. Joseph Hospital, where he was treated and subsequently released. The Hillsboro Police Department, Hillsboro Fire Department, and Hillsboro Area Ambulance assisted the Vernon County Sheriff's Office at the scene. The crash remains under an active investigation by the Sheriff's Office. The village of Blue River will be flushing hydrants on Wednesday, September 16th. During the flushing process, you may experience temporary water discoloration or pressure drop. This is normal and an expected occurrence. If you notice any discoloration in your water, it's recommended to turn on the faucet and let it run for a few minutes until the water is clear. For any questions or concerns related to the hydrant flushing process, contact the Village of Blue River office at 537-2758. Mark your calendars for Saturday, October 24th, as the Simons Recreation Complex hosts the second annual Pumpkin Fest Run Walk. The morning's activities kick off at 9, offering a wonderful opportunity for community members of all ages and fitness levels to come together, enjoy the autumn season, and get active. Participants can choose from several exciting events, including chip-timed 5K and 10K runs for those seeking a competitive challenge, or a scenic 1.5-mile walk. Runners will compete for top medals, while walkers are encouraged to show off their creativity and costume, with special prizes awarded for those sporting the best festive attire. Additionally, everyone who registers and pays by October 9th is guaranteed a commemorative long-sleeve t-shirt. For those who register after early registration ends, shirts will only be available on a first-come, first-served basis, so early signups are highly recommended. The Pumpkin Fest Fun continues all weekend long with a variety of engaging events highlighted by free admission to the Simons Recreation Complex. To secure your spot and guarantee your t-shirt, visit simonsrec.com to register today. The Richland Center Board of Review is scheduled to meet on Thursday, September 17th at 5 to address local property assessment reviews and objections. The meeting will take place in the Council Room at the Municipal Building, located at 450 South Main Street in Richland Center. Members of the public can also attend and participate virtually through Microsoft Teams. The meeting will be open with an official call to order and a roll call to determine if a quorum is present and proper meeting notices have been filed. A primary item on the agenda is the discussion and potential action to certify all corrections of error under Wisconsin State Statute Section 70.43. Additionally, the board will review any submitted notices of intent to file objection. Provided the proper notices or waivers have been given, the board will proceed to hear objections from the property owners during this session, unless those hearings are deferred to a later date. Before adjournment, the board will also consider scheduling additional dates if necessary to complete their review. A recent round of alcohol age compliance checks conducted across Sauk County revealed that a strong majority of local alcohol retailers are strictly adhering to state laws prohibiting the sale of alcohol to individuals under the age of 21. In the 2026 checks, trained underage buyers visited 127 licensed retailers throughout the county, with 100 of those businesses successfully refusing the sale. This resulted in a countywide compliance rate of 79%. The 2026 compliance rate aligns closely with the results from previous years. The county recorded an 81% compliance rate back in 2023, which dropped to 63% in 2024, before rebounding to 82% in 2025. Local officials view the consistent performance over the last 2 years as a positive indicator of community responsibility. Captain Matthew Birch of the Sauk County Sheriff's Office expressed gratitude for the businesses and local law enforcement agencies working collaboratively to enhance community safety, noting that every successful refusal of an underage sale represents an opportunity to prevent youth access to alcohol. The compliance checks were conducted by the Sauk County Partnership for Prevention Coalition in partnership with local law enforcement agencies. These checks utilize a standardized process across all participating communities to verify whether licensed business refused to sell alcohol to underage individuals. When a violation is identified for the first time, the involved server or clerk is offered educational resources and required to complete responsible beverage server training. Subsequent or repeated violations can lead to formal citations. Kate Hansen, the coordinator for the Partnership for Prevention, emphasized the vital role of restaurant servers and retail clerks in protecting youth, adding that checking identification and refusing illegal sales helps safeguard the health and developing brains of young people in the community. Nurses at St. Mary's Hospital in Madison have filed unfair labor practice charges with the NLRB against SSM Health, alleging illegal refusal to bargain, discrimination, and intimidation following an 89% vote to unionize nearly 900 nurses back in June. The movement is spreading, with 380 outpatient clinic nurses petitioning for representation amid a broader wave of healthcare organizing focused on reversing corporate control and combating severe staff turnover. Central to the nurse demands is fixing staffing shortages. Medicare data ranks St. Mary's last among seven area hospitals at 40% below local average. Nurses report that rigid administrative productivity grids sacrifice care quality and patient safety, driving their demand for enforceable staffing limits in a contract. The dispute highlights a major financial divide. SSM Health made $12.6 billion in revenue, $483 million in profit, and paid its CEO $7.8 million last year. Backed by community members, local leaders, and peer unions, nurses argue SSM Health has the funds to invest in safe staffing and point out that its opposition violates Catholic social teaching on workers' rights. 25 years after the tragic events of September 11, 2001, a powerful symbol of heroism and recovery has found a permanent home in Wisconsin. The 2000 Harley-Davidson Super Glide Sport motorcycle ridden by off-duty fire department of New York firefighter Tim Duffy to Ground Zero is now on display at the Harley-Davidson Museum in Milwaukee. On the morning of the attacks, Duffy put on his gear and rode his motorcycle into Lower Manhattan to assist in rescue efforts. He survived by being buried by debris during the collapse of one of the Twin Towers and immediately returned to helping others. In the 9 grueling months of recovery and cleanup that followed, the motorcycle remained his primary mode of transportation, serving as an active witness to the historic event. The motorcycle's legacy was also captured in a famous photograph by acclaimed photojournalist Alan Tenenbaum. The image, which shows Duffy riding through the Asheville debris-covered streets toward danger, became an enduring icon of first responder courage. On September 4th, ahead of the 25th anniversary of the attacks, Duffy and Tenenbaum reunited at the museum to formally present the newly restored motorcycle, bringing the firefighter, the photographer, and the machine together once more. Now housed at the museum on Canal Street, the historic artifact offers visitors a tangible, deeply personal connection to a defining moment in American history. It's time for this week's Richland County History Moment with Richland County Historical Society President Ken Theed.
Franks Hill, or in Native American, it's pronounced Zewakakak. That's spelled X-E-E-W-A-K-A-C-A-K. Meaning sacred hills. And now for a Richland County Historical Society history moment. Here's the rest of the story. According to threeeagles.org, Frank's Hill. Frank Shadowald bequeathed the property known as Frank's Hill to the Three Eagles Foundation upon his untimely death in 2013. The property includes an effigy mound group on the ridge east of State Highway 193 and a group of small conical mounds that are believed to be calendar mounds on the ridge west of State Highway 193. Effigy mounds are earthworks in the shapes of birds and animals, and other mounds found in Wisconsin are dome-shaped mounds called conical mounds, and there are also long, narrow mounds that are called linear mounds. The effigy mound civilization lived in Wisconsin from roughly 700 to 1200 AD. Generally speaking, the mounds at Frank's Hill are about 1,000 years old. The East Hill contains a group of effigy mounds thought to represent a coyote, a bison, a bird, a beaver, and a coiled snake. The bird mound also has been interpreted as the pregnant bird woman or the corn lady, as she's called. Because of the direct east-west alignment of the ridge, Hill East is a gathering place to observe equinox sunrises and sunsets. The panoramic vista is unique to the lower Wisconsin River Valley. The West Hill contains a series of very small conical-shaped mounds believed to be calendar mounds. Based on research conducted by Frank Shadowald and his colleagues, the mounds appear to track the setting sun from May 1st to the summer solstice and back again around August 1st. This time frame represents the approximate growing season for corn in the latitude of Frank's Hill. Frank theorized that the calendar mounds assisted with knowledge of the time to plant corn, harvest corn, as well as other significant events. Included in the summer solstice, or what is said to be the longest day of sunlight of the year. The Three Eagles Foundation is committed to Frank's philosophy that the mound should be available for people of all beliefs to visit and experience. Please be respectful. Do not walk on the mounds. Think of them as sacred grounds. Listen next week for the history of Richland County, covering Double Cola in Richland Center.
Today's History Moment is a service of the Richland County Historical Society. Members of the Historical Society enjoy reminiscing with the Achy Breaky newsletter. A strong membership base keeps the Historical Society viable and active by promoting the study and appreciation of local history, the sponsorship of programs devoted to local history, and the maintenance and access to the Achy School Museum. Annual memberships are just $10 for an individual or family, $20 for a business, or $100 for a lifetime individual or family membership. Memberships can be mailed to Richland County Historical Society, 213 South Central Avenue, apartment number 1, Richland Center, Wisconsin, 53581. You can also learn more at Richland County Historical Society.weebly.com.
Bethlehem Lutheran will be holding their annual Fall Festival this Saturday from 10 to 2 at 25500 Rockbridge School Street in Richland Center. The day will feature a spaghetti fundraiser from 11 to 1 and Jed's Car Show. Many awards will be handed out for those who enter the car show. John Felstead is an organizer of the event.
This year is over 50 trophies. We have 50 sponsored trophies. We have a People's Choice of the Best of Show. We give away 2 plaques this year. My favorite part of this is 25 and under. Anyone 25 and under, please show up. We give out 2 plaques this year. It's called the Young Gun Award, and I want to keep this growing for generation after generation, this car culture. And I've been giving out one every year since we started, and we get so many entrants that I opted to do this year just because I feel real importantly about that one. Also, the only class we have this year is motorcycle class, and I'm lumping all the motorcycles in one class, and we have 2 trophies for that as well. Everything else, it's all lumped together. It's all sponsor's choice. They come, they pick the cars that gets their trophy. We set it up so only one trophy is going to go per sponsor's pick. So that way, you know, one person can walk out of there with a bunch of trophies. And I like to spread it out. So, yeah, we're pretty excited about all this.
Registration will be from 8 until noon. If you have any questions or want information, you can contact John at 647-4544 or Destiny at 604-1862. Also, during the day, there will be a family fun which includes an arcade ribbon cutting at 10:30, face painting. Tiny Acres Farms will be in attendance, and there'll also be a bake sale. The festival will include and feature a craft fair and swap meet.
A little bit about the craft fair. Unfortunately, the person in charge of that has had health issues this year. He is on the road to recovery. So if anyone's looking for spots, we have a lot of spots wide open. If you want to contact myself on it, if you can't get a hold of Dave, we do have a lot of spots open, but I had a lot of interest in the craft fair also. We have she shells to paint, and we got all kinds of crafts going on. Simpsons, we already reserved. They got a people carrier wagon, so Simpsons tractor. We're going to have that running around. We got all kinds of stuff going on. It's not just a car show. There's a lot of fun events to keep everyone entertained.
To be a part of the craft fair, contact Dave at 792-2041 or John at 647-4544. Everyone is welcome to attend the Bethlehem Lutheran Fall Festival this Saturday from 10 to 2 at 25500 Rockbridge School Street in Richland Center. Wisconsin deer hunters are preparing to head into the woods as the archery and crossbow seasons officially open this Saturday, running through Sunday, January 3rd. In select metro subunits and select farmland zone counties, the seasons will extend further through January 31st. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding everyone to make safety their number one priority by always using a safety harness and haul line and maintaining 3 points of contact while climbing in and out of tree stands. Hunters should also be aware of changes to several deer management units that took effect in 2025. The DNR urges hunters to review the updated season structure and management zone maps prior to purchasing licenses or registering deer, as knowing the correct management zone and DMU number or county is required. Additionally, bonus antlerless harvest authorizations remain available in multiple units and can be filled out with any weapon type during the appropriate season, provided they are used in the designated zone, unit, and land type. For those planning their season, the 2026 Deer Forecast is now available, offering critical updates on the chronic wasting disease program, volunteer opportunities, and detailed district forecasts. Detailed information on purchasing licenses, finding hunting locations, and exploring other hunting programs is available on the DNR's official deer hunting webpage. The DNR also highlighted the vital role hunters play in conservation. Approximately 95% of the funding for the Bureau of Wildlife Management is generated directly from hunting, trapping, and fishing license fees, as well as federal taxes on firearms and ammunition. These crucial funds support wildlife population surveys, habitat restoration, disease monitoring, season operations, and the maintenance of 650,000 acres of public land dedicated to outdoor recreation. There's rarely such a thing as free money, especially when it comes to college students. Wisconsin Better Business Bureau spokesperson Lisa Schiller says scammers have been posing as agencies offering cash to freshmen, guaranteeing that they can help reduce your local payments or offer some type of grant. Schiller says these scammers will likely request your personal and banking information to steal your identity, and also request a service fee in order to get the money they are offering. If you get one of these messages, report it to the BBB or Wisconsin Consumer Protection. As Wisconsin's race for governor heats up, political observers say voters may view the candidates through their connections to better-known political figures. UW La Crosse political science professor Anthony Shergoski says Democrat David Crowley is closely associated with Governor Tony Evers, while Republican Tom Tiffany is widely seen as aligned with President Donald Trump. Shergoski says a key challenge for both candidates will be building political identities of their own before voters head to the polls November 3rd. The Department of Natural Resources has announced the winners of the 2027 Wildlife Stamp Art Contest. Three Wisconsin artists will have their work featured on the state's 2027 conservation stamps. According to the DNR, Rich Miller of Hazelhurst won the waterfowl contest. Sam Tim of Wautoma took top honors for pheasant artwork. And Douglas Schuster of Hatley won the turkey stamp competition. These stamps are required for hunters pursuing those game birds, but they're also sold to support habitat restoration, wildlife research, and conservation projects. State officials say stamp sales generate hundreds of thousands of dollars each year for wildlife management across Wisconsin. And in today's St. Anthony calendar raffle auction winners, it is two winners of $50, Richard Mitchell with ticket number 388, and with ticket 158, it's Lacey, Gavin, Greg, and Patty for their $50. Congratulations.